air online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. It's the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, three members of the same family who died in a crash in Inishowen last Thursday have been laid to rest. A Donegal minister has said he would be willing to fill the vacant agriculture ministerial position if he is asked. Charlie McConnellogue was reacting to the controversial golf dinner in Galway last week. We'll also hear from local Green Party representative Michael White. The Foreign Affairs Minister, meanwhile, says he's furious that the event took place, but he says he wants to hear Phil Hogan's explanation before saying any more. And the ISPCA say just one dog was reported stolen in Donegal from March to May. Later in the bulletin, at around 5:15, we'll have the sports news with Oisin Kelly. But we begin with the funeral in Moville today of three members of the same family who died in a crash in Inishowen last Thursday. 49-year-old John Mullen, 14-year-old Tomás and 6-year-old Amelia died when the car in which they were travelling plunged into Lough Foyle at Three Trees near Quigley's Point. Mr. Mullen's wife Geraldine was the sole survivor of the collision, and at today's funeral she addressed the congregation.
My heart is broken. It's never going to heal. But that's okay. Because I have you, Tomás, and Amelia in my heart. And you will always stay there. And I look forward to the day when I get you to put your arms around me once more. Because that's when I felt safest and most loved. So for now, it's just goodbye. Look after our two darlings. Heaven has definitely gained three angels today. Enjoy your time up above with all our family and friends. And please look after me down here. I have one last request for everyone. Please go home and hug your kids and loved ones. Give them the tightest hug and the sweetest kiss. Tell your loved ones you love them. And don't be afraid to tell them, because my darling husband told me time and time again, I have no one to kiss and hug. And I have no one to tell I love you to anymore. Because the three most important people in my life are gone. So cherish each day as if it were your last. Because last Thursday was the last day I got to spend with my beloved family. John, Tomás and Amelia, I love each and every one of you. To the moon, stars, and back again. To infinity and beyond, plus 100. That love will never end, and I will see you soon.
And that was Geraldine Mullen speaking today in Moville at the funeral of her husband, daughter, and son. There were 10 new cases of COVID-19 reported this afternoon in Northern Ireland, but no more deaths. The total number of cases north of the border is now 6,776 confirmed cases, 359 of them confirmed in the past week. The death toll remains 559. A Donegal minister says he would be willing to fill the vacant agriculture ministerial position if he's asked. Charlie McConnellogue was reacting today to the controversial golf dinner in Galway, saying it was wrong and should not have happened. Dara Cleary resigned as agriculture minister, while the Taoiseach also removed the party whip from Donegal Senator Niall Blaney and two other senators following their attendance at the event, which it's reported breached COVID-19 guidelines. Junior Minister Charlie McConnellogue previously held the brief of Fianna Fáil's agriculture spokesperson and had been one of the frontrunners to take up the position of agriculture minister following the Barry Cowan controversy earlier in the summer. Minister McConnellogue says if he is asked by Micheál Martin, he will be willing to take up the role.
I think it's absolutely clear that what happened was wrong, and it's a very clear punishment, and it is the way that parliamentarians are punished in terms of the officership they hold and in terms of the whip and membership of the parliamentary party. And I think that is the proportionate response in relation to making very, very clear the message that what happened was wrong, that those who attended were wrong to attend it, and that the event shouldn't have happened.
Okay.
And I think when you look at Minister Cleary and also the Vice Chair of the Shannon, and all officership positions have been withdrawn and resigned as a result of this. I haven't had any conversations with me with a Taoiseach in relation to that. An appointment of the next Minister for Agriculture wouldn't be able to be made until the Dáil would sit, because it would have to be ratified by the Dáil. So I presume with the Dáil meeting next week that the appointment would be forthcoming next week. And listen,
you'd be optimistic.
You can never presume anything in politics, and I think but I certainly would be willing to serve and take on that role where I asked to be.
And that was the Junior Justice Minister, Charlie McConnell, speaking today to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show. Well, a Green Party representative in Donegal says it's still possible for the current coalition to pick themselves up and move forward, despite the recent string of controversies. Michael White, who contested the general election for the party in Donegal, says it's in the best interests of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens to make the current government work. Mr. White did warn, however, of potential banana skins down the tracks. And to that effect, he said it's time for the government to settle down and refocus.
It really, to me, it seems a mixture of they're all new in their jobs. It's a tougher heading out of lockdown than it was going into it, I think, for any government across Europe. That's a challenge as well. And then just poor communication. Whatever about Leo Varadkar, at least he was on top of his comms strategy. So there's a few things they need to get on top of. But I don't think it's insurmountable. I think it is possible if people, as I say, people settle down, refocus, and communicate more clearly to the public. I mean, we had some examples last week where they're saying one restriction in one place and another restriction that seem to contradict each other. That's a bad choice of decisions and a bad way of... You know that expression, I think it was Benjamin Franklin from the American War of Independence, said we're better all to hang together or else we'll hang separately. And by that I mean is that I think a lot of them, for their own sense of self-preservation, will realise it's in their best interests to make this government work. I don't think it's in anybody's interest in either Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil for this to collapse. And I think that will become more apparent. There's a very detailed... What surprises me is the programme for government is incredibly detailed in comparison to previous ones. It's about 120 pages long, and it's a good programme for government. So I would have thought having that good plan, then it was just more of a matter of executing on that plan. But that hasn't been the case. There's been a lot of trips and falls poor responses to crises. So as I say, they just need to get their act together now. They do have a plan that they need to execute on. I don't think Micheál Martin displays the same arrogance that some of the previous Fianna Fáil leaders would have shown, the kind of things that would trigger a dissolution of a coalition. So I think that's on the positive side. But on the negative side, as you've pointed out as well, you do have a whole bunch of potential banana skins coming up with the leaving cert, with the reintroduction or the returns to school, etc.
And that was Michael White of the Green Party speaking there. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Simon Coveney, says he's furious that the Golf Arachlis Society event took place in Clifton last week. He told Cork's 96 FM today that he wants to read Phil Hogan's full account before he casts any further judgment on the EU Trade Commissioner. The EU Commissioner has given the EU President an account of his movements and an explanation for what happened. Ursula von der Leyen has indicated that she is not fully satisfied with the response that she's been given, and she is looking for more detail. Phil Hogan says he will provide more detail in due course, and Simon Coveney says he wants to read the documentation provided and also believes that Phil Hogan needs to be given time to explain himself.
You know, I'd like to read his explanations for why he was in and out of Kildare, and I'd like to be reassured by those statements that he complied as best he could with the rules and regulations linked to COVID, because it doesn't matter whether you're a commissioner, a president, a Taoiseach, a minister, or anybody else for that matter. The same rules should apply to everybody in Ireland.
Other news, and it's been confirmed by the PSNI this afternoon that a ninth person has been charged in connection with the activities of the new IRA. A 49-year-old man from Dungannon in Tyrone has been charged with membership of a proscribed organisation, directing terrorism, and two separate charges of preparatory acts of terrorism. The PSNI says he's due to appear at Laganside Court in Belfast tomorrow. There was only one reported case of a stolen dog recorded by Gardaí in Donegal from March 1st to May 27th. Senior ISPA Inspector Kevin McGinley was reacting to news yesterday that 32 dogs believed to have been stolen were uncovered in Dublin. Gardaí got a search warrant after checking out a tip about unusual activity at Stockholm near Swords. Mr McGinley says despite the low number of stolen cases in Donegal, however, it's important for people who believe their dog may have been stolen to immediately report it to Gardaí.
I think it is very, very important. If we're going to put out any message here today, I think the message should be that, you know, your dog should be considered by yourself as your property. And if you or I or any of the listeners had any of our property stolen from our premises, the first thing you would do would be to notify your local Gardaí station. Mm-hmm. A dog is no different. A dog should be treated similarly, and a dog should be reported to your local Gardaí station if you genuinely believe that that dog has been stolen, you know. Mm-hmm. I suppose from an ISPCA point of view and a welfare point of view, and maybe if I could maybe give some tips maybe for dog owners in particular to prevent the possibility of their dog being stolen in the first instance, I think, you know, all dog owners, per law, should ensure that their dog is microchipped from the age of 12 weeks onwards. Their information should be afforded to the database which holds that information, such as your telephone number and obviously your name and address. At this point in time, I think it's very important for people to make sure that their dog is always within their sight, and make sure your garden is fully enclosed and secure. Never leave your dog unattended. Maybe even, you know, people should consider maybe applying CCTV cameras in their premises. It's a good deterrent to keep thieves away, and it's also peace of mind for dog owners as well. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to, you know, the reporting of dog theft, if it's prevalent or people genuinely believe the dog has been stolen in the first instance, in order for to get some facts and figures.
Kevin McGinley there of the ISPCA. Gardaí and Letterkenny have confirmed that two motorists were detected driving while under the influence of drugs over the course of the weekend. One driver tested positive for cannabis. The second tested positive for cannabis and cocaine. Both were detained and court proceedings will follow. Gardaí are reminding people to never drive whilst under the influence of alcohol or drugs. A Belfast woman has been sentenced to 20 years for the attempted murder of two PSNI officers after falsely reporting a domestic row. In May 2013, police responded to a domestic dispute following a call by what appeared to be a very distressed woman. When officers arrived at the scene, two pipe bombs were thrown at them. Neither was injured, and 35-year-old Christine Connor received the sentence today. An additional 4 years was added on as the judge found her to be dangerous. Swimming pools in Derry City and Strabane District Council's Tier 1 leisure centres will reopen from Monday next. Bookings for one lane swimming are being taken from this week. The pools at the Foyle Arena and Templemore Sports Complex in Derry and Riversdale Leisure Centre in Strabane will reopen on a limited basis, as Catherine Gaffney now reports.
A number of changes have been put in place to ensure social distancing and in the interests of health and safety, including pre-booking a slot and coming beach ready to the facility. There will be local arrangements in place at each facility with limited access to changing rooms, with plans in place to operate a quick change zone at the end of each session. Locker and shower facilities will not initially be made available, however this is being reviewed on a regular basis. There will be limited capacity at all sites and all activities must be booked in advance. Swim sessions will last for 1 hour. Paid members will be able to book 7 days in advance from today, and casual users can book 1 day in advance. The public are asked to note that there will be no spectator facilities at any of the centres, and all users are being requested to adhere to guidance on social distancing that will apply at all times.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past 5 o'clock, we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. Stephen Kenny hasn't closed the door on Michael Obafemi's future inclusion with the Republic of Ireland squad. Despite 4 goals and 25 appearances for Southampton last season, he's been omitted from the Nations League games with Bulgaria and Finland. Troy Parrott and Adam Ida have made the squad of 23 instead. While Obafemi tweeted his surprise at his exclusion, Kenny says many others also can feel aggrieved.
A lot of some of the players that we've left out are really talented, are on standby, and a lot of players that we've left out, you know. And I think we've left some good strikers out, you know. And I think players that want to make their mark, and players that have been playing in the championship regularly, like Shawnee McGuire and James Collins and Scott Hogan, you know, who all feel that they can contribute. And I've all made contributions, and I've a lot more to give as well. So that's the nature of it. It's a lot of tough decisions, and I think that's the nature of it.
Brighton midfielder Jason Malumbi is another who gets a first senior call-up ahead of the Nation Games. Seamus Coleman, Shane Duffy and James McLean are all included, with Crystal Palace midfielder James McCarthy, Fulham's Harry Arthur, Southampton's Shane Long and Blackburn Rovers defender Dara Linehan return to the 23-man squad. Ireland play away to Bulgaria on the 3rd of September before hosting Finland at the Aviva Stadium 3 days later. Northern Ireland boss Ian Barraclough has named his first squad since being appointed manager. Oxford's Joel Copper has handed a first call-up to the senior team, but his team clubmate Mark Sykes isn't included, with a Belfast-born midfielder set to switch allegiances to the Republic of Ireland. Dundalk are reportedly set to appoint Filippo Givanoli as their new head coach. The Lilywhites parted company with Vinnie Perth last Thursday. Givanoli previously oversaw AC Milan's summer camps, but has most recently been at New York's Metropolitan Oval Academy. Derry City return to European football on Tuesday when they play FK Riedarija in Lithuania. The Candy Stripes departed for their Europa League first round qualifier this morning at 6 a.m. Due to COVID restrictions, all qualifiers are one-off games, while the tie only got the go-ahead at the weekend after Derry were granted special dispensation to travel by the Lithuanian government. Here's Derry boss Declan Devine.
Myself and Kevin have spent a lot of time working on the European tie. So, look, I understand they're a very good side. They're a good side. Is it a winnable game? Yes, it's a winnable game. We fought so hard to get into Europe. We want to stay in it. It's not just a swan song for us. We want to go over here and give a good account of ourselves. We've looked at all our strengths. We think we've found a couple of weaknesses, but it's going to be very difficult. We have a lot of guys playing in Europe for the first time, and some of our more experienced players, Adam Hamill's playing in Europe for the first time in his career, and really looking forward to it. You know, so it's a mixed bag going on there, but at the same time, you know, over the course of recent history, we haven't progressed through too many rounds of Europe. So we want to be the standard setters here. We want to try and get through this round and see where the next one takes us. But look, for us to get through this round, we're going to have to be really at the top end of our game and make sure that we give nothing careless away.
In the Donegal Youth League, there's one game penciled in for tonight. Drumkin will take on Lagan Harps. That game kicks off at 7 o'clock this evening. The North West Cricket Union have confirmed the Cup semi-finals for this coming weekend. In the Senior Cup, Dunamana have been given home advantage against Coleraine, while Holders Brigade will have to travel to Brady. In the Fohan Valley Cup, the North West's newest senior side, New Buildings, entertain Eglinton, while the other ties see two championship sides lock horns as Kilclooney host Fox Lodge. The Samuel Jeffrey Cup competition has Ballyspallan taking on Donegal side St Johnston, while Bonds Glen have home advantage against Burndennet. And finally, in the Eric Cook Cup, holders Ardmore play Sturban at the Bleach Green, with the winners facing off against Glendermot. In golf, Rory McIlroy's dropped to number 4 in the world after another disappointing weekend at the Northern Trust. He finished tied for 65th, 28 shots adrift off the winner, a new world number 1, Dustin Johnston. Finally, in Gaelic Games, we know the lineups now for the knockout stages of the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship. In the quarterfinals, defending champions Niamh Connell will have home advantage against Glenfinn on the first weekend in September. Gweedore will host McCool's. St Michael's go to Towny to play Kilcar, and St Eunan's welcome Bundoran to Letterkenny. The two relegation playoffs will see Milford take on Termon and Dunlow meet Ardrah, while St Noel's, Four Masters, Killybegs and Glen Swilly have all retained their senior status. There will of course be more around the Donegal Senior Championship and indeed the championships across Ulster tonight on the DL Debate with Brendan Devaney, which goes to air just after the 7 news, and of course is also available online at HighlandRadio.com. His guest tonight will be from the Star, Kieran Cunningham, and off the Donegal News, Ryan Ferry. That's your sport, Donal.
Thank you, Oisin. The Tyrkenny Institute of Technology is to receive an allocation of €171,000 to support the well-being and mental health of its students. The allocation is part of an overall nationwide financial package of 5 million, confirmed today by the Higher Education Minister, Simon Harris. It'll be used to recruit additional student counsellors and extra psychologists. LYIT's president is Paul Hannigan.
Well, it's a very welcome announcement from our perspective, because we're very conscious of the fact the students are coming back into a different academic year this year. And while we have very good supports for students in terms of counselling services, etc., on campus, we do believe, because there will be an element of online learning involved in the programmes this year, that we need to have additional supports for students, because the issues that they might come across this year might be slightly different than previous years. So it's very important to us so that we can bolster our student services.
And from preparations, from that perspective, how are things going? We do know that you're obviously intending to open your doors in the coming weeks really effectively.
Yeah, a lot of work going on here at the moment. A lot of people in doing different things, screens going up everywhere, different directional arrows showing us through one-way systems, etc. We hope to be in a position to provide more detailed information to both staff and students this week, where we've been interpreting the guidelines that have been handed down to us from the Department of Further and Higher Education. So we've a lot of work done in interpreting those and putting together the best package we can for staff and students coming back to campus.
And one of the key objectives you had from the very offset was to make sure that first-year students in particular have as much of a normal experience as possible.
Yeah, it is very important for us, because the reputation of this college over the years has been built around the relationship between staff and students, and it's very important that we develop that from the very beginning. And for a lot of first-year students who are coming directly from school, they haven't been in formal education since the middle of March. So it's important that we welcome them, that we get them engaged, that they become familiar with the surroundings and the staff here, and that we build on that as the year goes on. So that's really important from our perspective.
LYIT President Paul Hannigan there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. And finally this evening, a medical professor says the flu vaccine will be delivered in a much easier way for young children this year. 750,000 children will receive the vaccine via a nasal spray for free in October. With more, here's Kim Buckley.
Car park clinics could be used to help with the rollout of the flu vaccine to children this autumn. The Irish Independent reports the move is aimed at helping GPs manage the programme. 750,000 children between the ages of 2 and 12 are to receive the vaccine to help prevent overcrowding in hospitals this winter as they deal with COVID-19. Chair of the National Immunisation Advisory Committee, Professor Karina Butler, says the vaccine will be delivered through the nose.
But this now comes as a couple of drops into each nostril. So that is a much, much easier way to deliver the vaccine for children.
Professor Luke O'Neill from the School of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin says this year's flu season mightn't be as bad as feared.
In Australia, there's very low flu because the social distancing and the masks have decreased flu, as you might imagine, because it's respiratory, spreads just like COVID-19. So that's a good sign. Maybe there'll be less flu in the winter because of all the things we're doing. But because it's a concern, we have to be really, really careful now to look at the flu very closely.
Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says he's ordered 600,000 of doses of a vaccine, which could be given to children via a nasal drop.
Looking at the weather forecast for this evening and into tomorrow, and there's a lot of wind and rain coming, becoming increasingly windy and cloudy this evening. Storm Francis approaching from the southwest. That'll bring heavy and persistent rain overnight. Some thundery downpours expected with flash flooding possible. Cyclonic variable winds freshening at times, especially along the coast later, in lowest overnight temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees Celsius. An orange rainfall warning comes into effect at 9 o'clock tonight. That'll remain in effect until 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. A very wet and windy start in the morning with torrential downpours and a continued risk of flooding. Again, cyclonic variable winds veering west to northwest, increasing fresh to strong and hitting gale force on parts of the coasts. They'll ease somewhat tomorrow afternoon. Highest temperatures tomorrow 14 to 18, with rain gradually easing towards the evening. The main stories in brief this evening. Three members of the same family who died in a crash in Inishowen last Thursday have been laid to rest. John Mullen, 14-year-old Tomás and 6-year-old Amelia died when the car in which they were travelling plunged into Loch Foyle at Three Trees near Quigley's Point. There are 10 new cases of COVID-19 reported today in Northern Ireland. No more deaths. The total number of cases there now 6,776. 359 new cases in the past week. The death toll remains 559. Junior Minister Charlie McConnellogue says if asked, he would be willing to fill the vacant Agriculture Minister position. Charlie McConnellogue was reacting to the resignation last week of Dara Cleary from the post following his attendance at the Oireachtas Golf Dinner in Clifton. We're back with news again at 6. Until then, good evening. the obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 24th of August. The death has taken place of Sean Ginty, Ardwira, Glencar Road, Letterkenny. Sean's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Eunan's Cathedral at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, followed by burial in Conwell Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. The death has occurred in Airdrie, Scotland, of Gladys Kerr, named Maxwell, formerly of Kiltoll Convoy. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has taken place of Michael O'Donnell, Michael Danny Minnie, Factory Road, Gwydor, and Annagry. His remains are reposing today at his home on the Factory Road in Gwydor. They'll repose tomorrow at the family home in Annagry. Due to government and HSE guidelines, the wake and funeral will be private to family only, please. Funeral arrangements to follow. Inquiries to Colm Gillespie, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Michael O'Kane, 93, Ballycommon Estate, Strabane, formerly of Claudy. Funeral leaving his home on Wednesday morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Millmount at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Silverdale Care Home, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Funeral Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, millmountparish.com/webtv. The death has taken place of Margaret Peg McCarry, 37, Thorndale Drive, Artane, Dublin 5. Funeral Mass in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, on Wednesday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the family plot at Conwell Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family and close friends only, please. Inquiries to Terence McClintock, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of John Rankin, Clumcarney, Trenta. Funeral service in Tresna Presbyterian Church at 12:30 on Wednesday afternoon, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has occurred of Martin Doherty, Ballinakilly, Church Hill. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Con MacDade Funeral Director. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please.